Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smoke & Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Hello, hello, and good afternoon, good evening, I guess would be correct. Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus. I'm Zigzag. And looks like we're just waiting for Rufus to come on back in. We're just chilling on this Thursday. Give us a call. Let us know what you're up to. 646-478-0616. Big Easter plans. We'd love to hear about them. Time with friends and family. Enjoy it or hate it. I mean, I guess time with friends would be great. Family, well, you know, that's always kind of a crapshoot. As far as I know, anyways, anything can set off the holiday tension. I guess. So thick you could cut it with a knife. Just like you could cut ham or turkey with a knife. What do most people have, actually? Rufus, are you there?
Yeah, we have hard-boiled eggs. And we shape them into the shape of a spiral-cut ham.
Cool. That sounds like a good idea, dude. You should market that.
I should.
What does it taste like? Does it taste like ham and eggs?
No, it tastes like hard-boiled eggs, which sucks because I hate hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if I was, like, starving to death, I could eat a hard-boiled egg, but it's not something I really like that much. I could never eat egg salad. I mean, I guess I could if I had to.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about a hard-boiled egg. I just don't dig. It's the texture. It's rubbery. It's kind of powdery. That's not how I like my eggs.
You know, the sad part is with a hard-boiled egg, it almost already smells like you've eaten it.
That's true. A hard-boiled egg. It smells like that stink they put in natural gas, so you know you got a gas.
It does. The funny thing, you know what? Maybe hard-boiled egg may be the only thing that smells worse going in than coming out.
That's right. That's true. I look forward to about 10 hours after eating a hard-boiled egg.
Do you? I bet do you pull some Dutch ovens on your wife, do you?
Yeah, I do. I do.
God bless her.
I close all the windows and I just walk around fumigating the house.
In case there's any mites or anything living in there. You know, that's funny.
I did notice
that when we lived together for those years that we never really did have a flea or anything problem considering we had so many animals in the house. I wonder if it was due to your hard-boiled egg intake.
And output, yes.
And output, yes. Your methane output.
That's right.
They just smell like sulfur, right? Is that what they smell like? Is that what they say?
Eggs have a lot of sulfur in them. Eggs have a lot. I looked that up once because I love eggs. I like scrambled eggs mostly, but sometimes
you don't like fried eggs.
I don't. I the runny yolks don't do it for me either. And that's
yes,
psychological.
Right.
I do like the taste.
An awesome song that's dedicated to fried eggs and ham.
Well. I wrote that to appeal to a demographic, not necessarily for myself. That's a marketing song. I really have no faith in that song at all. It's not me. It's purely to make money.
Well, they're all theoretically to make money, but some of them do come from the heart. But, you know, I'm hurt that you don't like fried eggs. I'm hurt.
I don't. Well, it's psychological. I like the taste of them, but for some reason the runny yolk just grosses me out, so I can't eat them.
But that's the best tasted part because it's the blood, the lifeblood of the small chick.
And as a child, I did love it. I loved dipping my toast or French toast in that. But
hell
for some
yeah.
reason, I can't get over it now. And that's true. That the egg is like, it got a bad rap in the 80s for cholesterol or some bullshit. But it really is like the best food out there because it's got everything
super
needed
food.
To create a life. It is a superfood. It's like a pill from Mother Nature.
From nature, thank you. It's a hard-to-swallow one, though.
It is, unless you hard-boil it.
Unless you're like that. What was that guy in that Cool Hand Luke movie? What's his name? Robert Redford? No, not Robert Redford.
Yeah, he ate 50 of them. God.
That wasn't Redford, though. Who was that?
No,
that bugged me.
No, it wasn't Redford. It was his buddy from Cool Hand
Luke.
Yeah,
Sundance. Bill and Sundance, or Sundance Kid movie, right?
Yes.
Call us in if you know this fucking guy's name, 646-478-0616, and tell us, because this is going to drive me nuts the rest of the show.
Paul Newman. He has the salad dressing.
That's right. Thank you. No, okay, don't call in. Call in for some other reason now.
How fitting that he's got a food product.
It is. I wonder if he has, like, an egg product.
I don't know.
He has a line of hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
Here's something for you. Now, I've been in a lot of bars, and I have never, ever eaten one of the hard-boiled eggs in the juice.
Never would. No, it's never crossed my mind. Have you actually seen it? I've seen it on TV. I don't think I've ever actually been in a bar where they have that.
Oh, no, I've seen it. I've seen it. Yes, I have.
Good.
And you know what, though? I've never seen anybody eat out of one. I wonder if they're just like a fucking decoration or something.
But that's what I was going to ask you. Was the jar, like, full, or was there just, like, one left?
Honestly, dude, I've seen them that were, like, half full. I've never seen them, like, way down, like, one left, because I think what they do, I don't think you want to eat off the bottom of the egg bar or the egg jar, because I got a feeling that that's not getting properly rotated.
Jeez, you think? Oh, my God.
Here's the craziest thing. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Here in the liquor stores, you know, I hang out at my cousin's liquor store. They actually sell a giant pickle in a pouch. Have you ever fucking seen that?
I've seen that. They're like the size of your forearm in a little
bag. Yes, they are. They got like hot
ones. I've never had one.
Sweet ones. Me neither. I don't know. I like pickles, dude, but eating a pickle out of a plastic bag just doesn't fucking appeal to me.
I don't know how they sell them there, but every time I've seen them, they've been in a warm situation, like there's a laying on the counter.
Oh, yeah, they're not. No, they're not chilled. That's a good point, Rufus, because I don't know who the fuck could ever eat a warm pickle.
It's got to be rubbery and just like eating a dildo or something. It can't be good.
It's so funny. I'm guilty of like grazing at my cousin's liquor store buffet of just snack foods. And there's just some stuff on there I won't eat, like the pickles. And they also have these fucking things. They're called Tijuana Mamas, all right? And
all it is
a fucking, like, super cheap hot dog, I guess, like, pickled in some hot sauce or something. And these fucking people go bananas for that shit.
Wow.
You know, I guess I probably never tried one because I'm afraid I probably would like it.
Yeah, that's true. You're opening up Pandora's box if you eat one of those.
Yeah, I think when you go and see your family practitioner after you've started eating those, you kind of have to tell them. Be like, yeah, doc, I'm on a slippery slope. I started eating the Tijuana Mamas from the liquor store. They put you immediately in rehab after that, I think.
When they draw your blood for a blood test and they're like, man, it smells like pickles in here.
Oh. I can't imagine. No, but I'll tell you what, dude, I've had dinners. I've stayed like 12 hours at my cousin's liquor store. I'm not proud of that, but then again, I kind of am proud of that. But I've eaten like three meals just on the junk that is in the store. And this is what it consists of. It's like potato chips or popcorn, pretzels, all in like the $1 bag variety.
Sure.
Slim Jims, like three different flavors of Slim Jims. Which is usually what I do end up eating, because he's got these little tiny 35-cent ones that are, like, super small.
Yeah.
And I don't feel guilty eating those for free, even though I eat, like, probably
not.
Fucking 20 of them.
God, I love Slim Jims. Yeah.
And you know what sucks about that place, dude, is they don't have any candy. I told him one time, I'm like, dude, I will go to Sam's and get you a thing of Snickers to put it out there on the bar to see if they sell, just so I could eat them.
You should just put a vending machine in there. Be like, look, I'll split it with you. I'll fucking put the gum and stuff in there.
You know, this is funny. By law, in this state, you cannot sell chewing gum at a liquor store.
Well, what the fuck is that about?
And you can't sell cold pop. They have all these weird fucking laws. Can't sell. You can sell cold juice, but you can't sell cold anything carbonated except for beer. And like those ciders and all that kind of shit. You can't sell that cold pop.
What's the logic behind that?
You know what? I guess they figure if you buy a cold pop, you're just going to take a slug off your Jack Daniels bottle and wash it down with some cold pop. I mean, but not realizing if you want to get drunk, you're just taking a slug off your fucking Jack Daniels bottle. Sans.
Exactly.
Any cold pop. God forbid you water it down a little bit.
That's what I was going to say. They should want the cold pop in there to fucking help people.
Well, just a fucking stupid-ass law that was made in, like, 1912 or something, I'm sure. Just like you can't buy a car on a Sunday.
What? You're making that up.
No, I'm dead serious.
Why can't you buy a car on a Sunday?
There's no good reason. There's absolutely no good reason.
You know, that actually kind of reminds me of something that happened to me last week or a couple of weeks ago. So we live here in the Bible Belt. There's seriously like 40 churches just on every block. And we're in a dry county. And I went to the Walmart on Sunday because the hardware store was closed. I try to support the local guys. But I went to Walmart, and this lady at the checkout totally caught me in a great joke, only because she didn't realize I was out of town or from, you know, Texas. And I had to buy some stuff for, I'm working on the patio. So I bought like a T-square and some screws and a hammer and something. And she's like, oh, hon, she said, I can't sell work tools on a Sunday. I'm not allowed to do that. And she was totally fucking with me, but I stopped for a second. I was like, are you serious? Really? And she kind of laughed and said, no, it would not even surprise me here after being here for 6+ months that that would actually be true. And she was dead-faced about it. I mean, deadpan serious. I mean, she pulled it off. And totally
was she sexy?
Me. Absolutely not. I mean, she was a... That's
what made her so funny.
Because she was like a middle-aged woman. You know, she was like a mom-maw or a me-maw. She's like, oh, honey, I can't sell work tools. I'm not allowed to sell work tools on a Sunday.
And I was never allowed to have dental work my whole life.
That's right, unless my paw pulling it out for me.
That's where we kept our life savings in our teeth. Now we're broke.
That's right.
Remember that? Oh, my God. We should go back, dude. We need to do just like one day on the show, listen to 5 minutes of a show from a year ago. You realize that we could be in syndication now? We have over 100 episodes. We could actually be in syndication.
What is that, like an actual legal rule? You need at least 100 episodes?
No, that's just like I think that's like a Hollywood rule.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're
so
legit.
We abide by Hollywood rules.
Too legit to continue.
We should be syndicated.
Hey, tell me a little bit about something. I want to talk to our listeners and tell them about a new website that's out there. It's called www.ufoomg or UFOMG.
Oh, UFOMG.
Yes, I love it.
The mashup.
I love it. That's good stuff, dude. That's very good stuff. Very clever of you. Now, I didn't know you had a penchant for the otherworldly. Can you tell me where your interest in that came from? And if you believe or do not believe.
I totally believe, yeah. And always have, passively. But for some reason lately, I've just really been into it. And I think it's just because it seems like it's coming up in the news more often, not just like sightings and stuff, but even like legitimate mainstream scientists are starting to be like, revealing shit that I don't think they would have revealed like 20 years ago and stuff, and you know, like creating black holes in a fucking laboratory, for instance.
Did you see where that guy, those two doctors tried to sue the USF and all the people that were trying to start that machine in the first place because they knew they were gonna do these little black holes and they thought for sure they would fucking eat the earth?
I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised. I'm a little concerned. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, they held it up. They actually held it up for like 5 years.
It's a black hole. I mean, that can't be good, right?
No, it can't be. But I don't know. Apparently, because I was like, you know, we talked about on the last show. I'm unsettled by the whole idea. I mean, we really don't know what the fuck this machine is really capable of, do we? Other than purely hypothetical. Shit, I mean, I would say humans are wrong more than they're right. So you don't know what's going to happen. Something really bad could fucking happen.
I think there is a point where it's okay to just kind of throw shit at a wall and see where it sticks. But at some point, you got to be like, what exactly is this shit we're throwing at the wall? I don't even understand what we're throwing. Maybe we should take a step back and not throw it at the wall just yet. Because, I mean, what are they even building it for, if not to create black holes and prove parallel worlds or whatever? I mean, it has no other practical use, which is kind of interesting to me, too. I mean, billions and billions of fucking dollars for something that's basically going to prove two things, and then what? They're going to make a parking lot out of it?
They put on the scrap heap.
I don't know, man. It's all interesting.
Wonder what the insurance on that collider is.
Oh, God, I don't know. Surely they went to Progressive and got multiple quotes.
Right, I'm sure they called Flo. They had Flo in.
We should do a prank call where we call Progressive and be like, yeah, I'm building an atom smasher in my fucking ranch.
Oh, my God. Dude, they would call the FBI because they would think that you were some kind of terrorist.
I'm trying to create some black holes just for kicks. No, I need some insurance.
They'd probably think you were talking about porn then. All these guys get busted for these Ponzi schemes or whatever. I mean, isn't insurance is just a Ponzi scheme, really, isn't it?
I really don't understand insurance at all, man.
You just pay in. And if some other guy fucks up, you pay for it, you know. But the money's just constantly being put out and brought back in.
I mean, I don't know. Like automotive insurance, I don't get that. If automotive insurance covered, maybe it does, and I'm just stupid. If automotive insurance worked like health insurance, where I could pay in and pay in, and then, oh, my alternator goes out, it's covered. But it only covers me slamming my car into somebody or getting slammed into somebody else, which never happens. That's happened to me like twice in my whole fucking life. I mean, I want insurance that's like prescription insurance for my car,
right,
where it covers the oil change and it covers the maintenance and bullshit.
They actually have that, dude, but it's so fucking slimy and greasy because you can pay for it, and, you know, you can look on the web. Check it out, dude. You can buy aftermarket insurance on your engine all day long, and they just never pay. They never fucking pay.
Jesus Christ.
You know, and it's not really cheap, but, you know, they get you with a, think about it, if your transmission went out, it cost you $1,400 or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I've seen that. But, I mean, we're required by law, at least in Texas, I don't even know here, to have it, but it's only for, like, if you get in a wreck. Well, what if I don't get in a wreck, but my carburetor goes out? It doesn't help that shit. I mean, if we have to have it, at least make it good.
Well, I mean, I don't think
shady
the
fucking thing.
Game of any insurance company is to make their insurance good, necessarily.
Right, or any regulation is not to make the government better.
Inconvenient, maybe.
Worse. Yeah.
So big plans for the holiday, hippity hop, Easter?
No, just hide some eggs and find them and then not eat them and let them rot, basically.
Will the horses eat them, you think?
I don't know if horses eat eggs. I'll get back to you on that. I'll try.
I bet Bo will eat one.
Yeah, I bet Bo will. That's why we have to hide them like 10 minutes before we look for them, because otherwise we'll sniff them out and destroy them.
Chomp on them. Oh, but his farts would smell good.
they smell pristine already.
So you're not going back to Texas then? You're just going to tough it out? You got spring break and stuff this week?
Our spring break was last week.
Oh, that's right. I think you told me that. Do anything special?
No, not really. I mean, I think we're going to try to get the kid an old school Nintendo system as like his big Easter present. You know, I guess we'll hide it under a tree or something. But other than that, it's just eggs.
Where do you find one of those at?
There's a place in Fort Smith that deals in used vintage video game stuff, and they said that they got a shipment of them coming in tomorrow.
What's one of something like that go for, like $500?
No, a used one, like a used refurbished one, with like the box and two controllers and even like the original Mario and duck hunt game for like $200. Now you can find brand new ones. I don't know how these people fucking even have this shit, but brand new ones like unopened in a box,
right,
on eBay. But it costs you like $1,500. I mean, fuck that shit.
I had one. It was actually in the box as well in my basement, and at my parents' house, and my mom threw it away.
Oh my God! Little did she know.
Yep. Little did I know. I mean, that was 15 years ago.
Well, I mean, back then, it was like a toaster. I mean, everybody
right.
Who would think that, you know, it'd be like a sought-after vintage item?
I'm just going to put this out here that I would play anybody as the Chicago Bears on the Nintendo football game.
Oh,
and I could beat
right?
you. I could beat you, no problem. I guarantee it.
We should make that an open challenge. So, I mean, somebody call in.
I will
broadcast
yes.
it.
That is a legitimate challenge. Call in
646-478-0616.
Yes, call in, and I will take you on. I will take anyone, but I have to be the Bears. I have to be the Bears. I could beat you. I'm going to go out on a limb right here and say I could beat you with one play.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know you have a cheat code? How does that work?
No, this is no cheat code. This is something I think that was written into the Nintendo game code purposely because someone was a Chicago Bears Walter Payton fan.
Really?
Yes, because you can lock horns with anybody as Walter Payton and fucking throw them and run for like 60 yards back to back to back to back to back, like all fucking
day
long.
That's awesome.
So remember that when you want to hurt your son's feelings when you guys are playing some football. How come you're going old school with the gaming system?
Well, I downloaded, just for my own nostalgia, a simulator for my laptop that plays old Nintendo games. And then you can go to different websites and actually get – people have just, like, downloaded the game information, and you can play it on your laptop.
Right.
And – I programmed my PlayStation controller to work with it and everything. And my kid loves Super Mario Brothers. I was like, here, check this out. This is what I did when I was a kid instead of anything productive. And he loves it now. But it's hard. It's kind of a hack the way it all works out. And he can't just, like, open the laptop and open the special software and do all that bullshit. So mainly I'm getting it for him just so, you know, you press a power button and it works.
Right. Remember, think about when you play, but he's going to be the difference between the remotes or the joysticks is so fucking crazy. That think
mm-hmm.
about a Nintendo joystick, do you call that a joystick? No, that's just a, what do you call that? Controller. Different they are. I mean, you know, I've got like a PlayStation 360. And I got a bunch of games and shit for it. I'm like, yeah, I'll play the fucking games, blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody talks about how great it is. Dude, I was so fucking stumped by the remote or by the controller. I'm like, fuck this. I'm done with this. This I can't. There's too many things. There's jump here, jump there. You know, up. You get it. It's fucking insane.
Oh, yeah, I was playing a game a couple of months ago. I don't really have time to fucking fuck around with that
Me
shit
neither.
Much now. But I was looking at my PlayStation controller trying to figure out this game. And I counted. Let me see. I'll count now. I'll envision it. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, at least 12 actual buttons. But then in a game, like each button pressed in a certain combination will
right,
do a different
combination.
Fucking thing. It's like you almost have to take like a community college class just to play one fucking game nowadays.
You know, how can you possibly have more buttons than you have fucking digits? I mean, don't you have to be holding this thing with, like, a couple of your fingers?
That's right. That's why I'm going to adopt a Cambodian child so he can just press the B button when I need it.
You just tell him what to do.
That's
he
right.
just acts as your vehicle.
I'll just be like, B, press B, Pedro. B, now.
Right, exactly. B, B, A, double F combination. Combination C, up. I'm telling you, I was fucking dumbfounded. I really was like, I guess I'll never be playing this fucking game ever, any of them. Because I got to this point where I actually was playing one. It was one of those Black Ops games, which is the whole fucking stupid reason I bought this thing, because I was hanging out at that liquor store, And some fucking drunken idiot comes in and is telling us how fucking great the game is or whatever. I'm like, well, that sounds cool. So I got to get in the whole system, and I end up start playing this game. And I'm invested in it. I play it for like a month, right? And then I get to this point that I can't fucking get past, dude. I couldn't get past it for like fucking a month and a half. Like one scene of the fucking game, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm
yeah,
fuck this. Fuck this fucking whole shitbag.
yeah. I've experienced that recently with a game that I referenced before that I played a couple of months ago. I beat the total shit out of this one level. I wasted a day of work, but I finally did it. And then I realized like 2 days later that I forgot to save after it, and I had to do it all again.
Right.
And I haven't fucking touched it since. And I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm done.
I'm actually very fucking anal. Excuse me, Rufus, I got the hiccups. Sorry. Very anal about saving, because with my work, dude, if I don't save like every fucking 10 minutes, you could lose out on a lot of fucking shit.
Yeah, I agree. I am too. I mean, this was just a fluke, but that's why it pissed me off so much. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
I had that asshole that works for me that never fucking saved anything. He would go like days without saving his shit and just leave it open on the fucking desktop, and they'd be pissed fucking crash, you know, and he would lose some shit. I mean, luckily a lot of times it automatically backs up, but sometimes it won't open back up. But I was like, dude, have you never played one fucking video game in your whole goddamn life? You know, that you don't understand that, when you get to a point that you don't want to fucking ever go back to, you save the fucking thing. You know, it's that rudimentary.
It is. It is rudimentary. It's like the feature that you would want in real life. So why the fuck wouldn't you just use it every chance you get, either in work or or video game?
Exactly. That's what exactly, Rufus. I don't think that was put very nicely. Why can't this fucking guy figure it out? Because it's too obvious, I guess.
I got to tell you, man, that's one thing that really blew my kid's mind. He was never a big gamer before because he's only fucking six, but he's seen me play games, and I'm constantly saving, or even just working, I'll save. But the old school games, like Super Mario Brothers, that he's playing now, they're so fucking safe. I mean, you just go until you fucking die, and then you're fucked. You got to start over from the beginning, even if you've been playing for 6 hours. And
that is so fucking – that's how
brutal.
You get a kid hooked, because think about it. They can't just go back and start playing that part of the game. They got to play the whole fucking game over again to find out what is around that next corner.
Exactly. And, oh, my God. That's really a mind fuck. And that was – I mean –
Yes, it is.
Nintendo. They ruined my childhood.
They did, and now you're gonna do the right thing and pass it on to your son.
That's right. That's your show.
You can ruin his childhood. Turnabout is fair play.
I've earned it.
That's right. Wonder your dad. They probably didn't have video games. He probably had to play card games or something. Jax.
he just had a metal tire rim that he pushed around with a stick.
You know what? That always looked so fucking cool to me. Can I tell you that?
I've done it.
Like,
that would
be awesome.
It's hard to do, man. I mean, to roll it with a stick and keep it going and steer it, that's tough.
Well, and running, and not to mention you're like chasing it through the streets of India, you know, and going around horses and fucking dead bodies and shit.
We should make modern-day video games that are like that and kick the
can. Oh, my God. Yes.
And I don't know, some old, like, game, you know, like
Mr. Potato Head
video game. Mr. Potato Head.
Virtual Mr. Potato Head. No, I love that. You could be like, I just could see all these fucking hipsters in some bar somewhere with some kind of stick and some wheel. You know, it's like you actually have to push it, but it just turns on a hub or something, and they put on these virtual glasses
right.
And are running down the fucking street chasing this tire.
Oh, my God. They got to, like, dodge virtual Model Ts and horse-drawn carriages and shit.
And guys on those super high bikes.
the big wheel bikes. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
There's probably some kind of future in that.
What are the upgrades you could buy? Like, you could have a 14-year-old girl deliver a block of ice to your house in the morning, or You got to have some, like, in-game options.
You polio vaccine. Things that, like, were just new then. An x-ray. You can get an x-ray.
Holy shit. Dude, that's brilliant. Like, while you're running and pushing the deal, your, like, polio meter keeps going up and up. And so you have to, like, gather polio vaccines along the street so you can keep running with the wheel. Otherwise, you collapse.
Speaking of polio, I mean, obviously you've seen what good has become of polio now. Have you heard about them treating these cancers with polio virus?
I have, but I don't know all the details. So they drill or they inject the vaccine into a cancer cell and it kills it? Or actual polio?
Like right now they're using it mostly on glioblastomas, which are super, super fast growing cancers. Like they'll expect these cancers to double in size in a couple of weeks. I mean, they're capable of doing that. And most glioblastomas happen on people's brains. So what they've been doing, and I guess this guy has been working on this for like 25 or 30 years, which was amazing because he really didn't look that old to me. But they synthesized the polio vaccine and like cooked it down and manipulated it. You know how whatever chemists or biologists can do. And they drip it right into the cancer for like 6 hours, like right in the middle of the cancerous tumor. And then they just wait, right? They just wait for like a week. And it's worked like a bunch of times. So, I mean, they're pretty sure they're going to get an FDA approval on this. But what it does is it like eats out the inside of the cancer, right? It just starts eating it. I mean, the cancer can't fight off the polio. But since we have a vaccination for polio, I don't know. It's very strange. I don't get it. You'd think that the cancer would be... you know, it would be immune to polio like we are if we got the vaccine. I don't know. I don't get it, but it seems to be working pretty good.
Well, I've read that cancer is really, it's like an alien, and I don't mean like UFO alien like we talked about before, but I mean it's like its own fucking creature.
It's something
its
outside
beast,
of
you know? I mean, it really is like an invader.
Cell.
It's not... Yeah, I mean, you might be immune to something, but when the cancer starts growing, it's like, fuck you, I'm me.
Right. That's fucking scary. It's a scary thought. But, I mean, it's a comforting.
Yeah, it is.
And the weird thing about this treatment was they thought, okay, it's working in these people. Now we're going to try it on some people, and we're going to use higher doses to see if it works better or faster or whatever. And what happened was when they gave the people the higher doses, they actually had problems with it. They would have, like... swelling in their brain and stuff, so they had to start treating that stuff. But some people had strokes. I mean, obviously, you know, depends on how sick you are, I guess, when you first start getting the treatment.
Right. I mean, it's got to be a try. You can't knock it out of the park on the first try, right? I mean, they got to test it, narrow it down.
Right.
It's probably got to be tailored to a specific type of deal. But
right.
Fuck,
I mean, yeah, they, you
awesome.
Know, they're just finally getting being able to use it on human beings. So, I mean, obviously, but the guy's like, I feel pretty good about what we can do in the next year or so, he even said.
So now, okay, here's the conspiracy theory angle, is it seems like every fucking week some breakthrough like that happens and then you never hear about it again.
I can agree with that. Yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, it'll
like
disappear, news stories about it will dry up.
Because what happens is the big companies... Like the not the insurance companies, but the people who make the drugs and stuff are like, well, we prefer not to have to sell that shit super expensively, or the insurance companies don't want to pay for it, so it's not worth it to put the whole fucking thing together.
Exactly.
Because if no one can afford to buy it, what's the use with it? That's a conspiracy theorist in me. But, hey, let's go back to UFO. So, what do you remember, do you think you've ever seen a UFO?
I've never seen one, never. I'd like to. That'd be cool, but I've never have. I've thought I've seen one once, but I'm a healthy skeptic, and I'm analytical, and I determined later that it wasn't. But
what was it? Weather balloon?
No, it was swamp gas.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, of course. No. No, it was we were driving from – actually, it was recently from here to Texas, and I saw this thing in the sky. It was just fucking hanging there. And it was saucer-shaped, of course, the vetted angle was just hanging there, and it was so far away I couldn't really make out what it was, and it was there for miles and fucking miles, and I thought, okay, that's it, I've seen one. But then it was just a couple of days later that I saw the exact same thing, and it was a little closer, and it was just through some weird weather phenomenon, like the jet trail of a jet, you know, how it leaves the
smoke,
gas or fumes or whatever, that it's like the weather, I guess, had like swept away two halves of it and just left a little piece of it in the air. And it was really obvious to me that's what it was.
Right.
So, no, I've never actually seen one. But
I thought I saw one, dude, one time, and it was following me. I was following it, I thought, but you know, I wasn't sure who was following who. And it turns out it was the keychain hanging from my rearview mirror.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am serious. It was like shining in the light, and it freaked me out. That was a long time ago,
man.
Though. I couldn't see. It was weird because I couldn't see the chain that was like hanging the thing down. You know what I mean? Does this make sense? Like it looked like it was outside of my car, like this light flashing type thing, but it was just my eyes like playing tricks on me.
I think that it would explain about 98% of UFO sightings, really.
Some bullshit like that. Your eyes playing
like
tricks on you?
Night. Yeah, they were misidentified fucking bullshit.
Here's the conspiracy theorist in me thinks that, you know what, it's total bullshit. If they come out and say it was a weather balloon, you know it was a UFO, because when the fuck have you ever seen a weather balloon?
Never.
Right.
And
nor
why
have
we have
I.
weather balloons now that we have satellites?
Well,
I mean
even back, way back when, I don't think you're like looking through the sky like, oh, there goes the weather balloon. I mean, do you think?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I see helicopters and planes all the time. I've never seen a Zeppelin, but surely if you're going to see a weather balloon.
I bet you have. I bet you've seen the Goodyear blimp.
Well, I mean, on TV, but I mean, just like walking
you've
around.
You've never seen a blimp
like,
in
oh.
real life?
No, I've never seen a blimp. Have you seen a
Not
blimp
like
in real life?
Not like at a fair or anything? That kind of surprises
no.
me.
No.
Wow.
I mean, I've seen one of those little blimps that they hang above used car dealerships to get attention off the highway.
So when we lived in Austin, you never noticed, like, the Goodyear blimp or anything when it would come and go over a UT game? You never saw it, like, flying around over South Austin or anything?
No, I've seen those biplanes that have, like, big, long banners behind them, but I've never seen a blimp.
Wow.
But I don't get
Dude.
To see about football, so maybe
get
that's why.
Get thee to a blimp. It's pretty majestic. It seems like it'd be super cool up there, but then they always like put the news guy up in the blimp, and you look around and there's like no room to do anything. It's just a bunch of fucking air above like a tiny little cockpit, and it seems like it's hard to believe they could go 100 miles an hour, but it's also hard to believe that a swift wind couldn't just make it crash right into fucking anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust a blimp for nothing, and like you said, there's just enough room in one of those things to fall out, and it's made of air. I mean, okay, here comes
right.
the breeze. We're fucked.
Well, you know what's crazy is think about the Hindenburg, dude. They crossed the fucking ocean on that blimp. They were in the air for like 10 days. And unfortunately, after it exploded, they replaced the hydrogen, right, with some other kind of gas that would float, and people were like, no way I'm ever fucking going in a blimp.
Yeah.
Even though it was probably perfectly safe.
Yeah, well, the stigma was too much. I mean, geez.
Oh, the humanity.
They should replace it with boiled egg farts.
There you go. That'd be enough reason. Imagine that would probably be pretty flammable as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of sulfur in the air at that point.
So sulfur, now I wonder if you could, like, light sulfur gas. Is there such a thing? Sulfur, mustard gas is some kind of sulfur gas, isn't it?
Ew, I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, I think it's just made out of rotten eggs and mustard. It's old potato, or it's old egg salad.
Yummy.
It's just mayo and rotten mayo, mustard, and eggs. I think Hitler created that.
Sounds like something my dad would eat. He probably put it on a sardine.
Oh, my God. You ever had a sardine?
I've had sardines twice, and I actually like the flavor, but whenever I took a bite out of one and the little spinal column came out and was hanging out of my mouth, I was like, nah, I'm done with these.
That's enough for me. That's enough. Or an anchovy, just the look of an anchovy is like all you can see is his little fucking spine sitting in there.
Yeah.
How about a smoked oyster out of a tin?
I've never had an oyster in any form.
Really? A smoked oyster out of a tin is pretty goddamn good. I'm going to have to tell you
really?
That. So if you ever get a chance. I mean, I used to like to eat those as a kid. How disgusting is that? I probably was eating those hard-boiled eggs on the bar counter as a kid, too. I just blocked it out.
Yeah. Those, what was the other thing you mentioned? The weird little sausages and some kind of juice?
Yeah, the Mama Tijuana Mama.
Tijuana Mama.
That's what they're called, I swear to God. You know, I lost my train of thought, Rufus. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm looking up smoked oysters now. You got to be curious about it. I see bumblebees.
That's what I would say.
Smoked oysters.
Compared to my daughter and most of the kids I see, I like eight things that probably most adults won't eat now. I ate as a kid. Remember,
what
you were going to break
you
were going to break Levi of that awful habit of only eating a few things. How's that going?
If his mom didn't interfere, it'd be going great. I mean, I introduced him to, I bought him a pack of ramen noodles the other day, and in the face of much protest from the old lady. And he loved it, of course.
Yeah, he likes it because you like it. So that's a good way. I find that's a good way to get my daughter to eat, like, some different stuff. But you're right. I mean, my wife, she's totally guilty of doing that as well, baking her whatever she wants, instead of saying this is what we're going to have and it's going to be fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who that's more for, my wife or my daughter, Rufus. Do some psychoanalyzing there.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Does your daughter do this? Because my kid does this. Is he asks me, and it's really kind of heartwarming. This isn't a rant. Like, whether it's about, like, what to eat or what to do. He's like, did you do this as a kid? He's like,
yes,
he wants to
all
do...
the time.
Isn't that, I don't know, I kind of find that
awesome. No, it's awesome. But usually I find her, it's her way of trying
to
sneak in and do something that she wants to do and isn't sure that it's even possible. It's like, hey, Dad, did you do this as a kid? Did you ever jump over a barbed wire fence and try to get that, you know what I mean? Like, do something totally outrageous. Like, no, we never really did that. And then she's like, okay, because I just wanted to go jump in that mud puddle anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to do it as a kid.
Well, no, she's like the lesser of two evils. Hey, Dad, can I smoke heroin? No, I don't think that's a good idea. Okay, I just wanted to smoke pot anyways, okay?
Wow, she's a psychological whiz.
She is.
How's she doing on those drums?
Awesome, dude. Awesome. She knows how to play what her drum teacher calls meat and potatoes now. And
cool.
Four on the floor.
Wow. What do those mean?
When
I
she
can,
plays
I think,
it, you know what? I don't even know what the real name is myself, but they're like legitimate beats that I can play along to with the guitar.
Wow, that's cool.
It is weird because then I realized that she's a better drummer than I am guitar player. So I felt really odd and out of place.
You're
like,
embarrassed.
Dad. Well, the sad
can
part
we
is...
jam, Dad?
Right.
No.
Dad, you're going to have to pick it up, dude. No, she kicked me out of the band. She's like, dude, sorry.
We're going to have a band meeting.
I'm six, and we decided that you're going to be replaced, old man.
That's right.
She made me a roadie. She's like, we got a nice roadie spot for you.
One day she's going to have you, like, setting up your guitar gear. She'll be like, you'll strap on the guitar. She'll be like, oh, no, we just needed you to set that up. Here's the guitar player.
Yeah, sorry. We just flew him in from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
No, I felt bad for her because she was playing. You know, I'm like, all right, let's practice four on the floor now. And she's like, she'd try to do it from memory. And she's like, well, I can't remember it off the top of my head, you know. And so she looks at the music and goes, what is it, Dad? And I looked at this stuff. I'm like, I have no idea. I absolutely have no idea. I have no idea how to read drum music at all.
That shit's weird looking, dude. That's like looking
right.
at trying to read Klingon or something.
Well, I was like, I can't help you. You know, I felt like I failed her as a dad.
Oh, no. Did you slump your shoulders and pout?
I did. I just crawled under the covers on the couch and took a small nap and wept softly.
You didn't, like, catch her the next day hanging out with another dad, did you?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I have caught her online a few times chatting with some surrogate dads.
And all the pictures in their profiles had them holding drumsticks.
Right.
Or
guitar picks. Jesus, spit it out, dude. A forum for drum playing dads.
Oh, good like Lord.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. Well, you know, and I feel better because I'm on the one for guitar playing dads. So, talking to a few kids on there, you know, that look up to me.
Awesome.
It's all legit. We only text. We don't actually see each other or trade pictures.
That's the safest way to go.
Right, I find that as well. No, I would be bummed out if she was cheating on me with another dad.
That's a good line.
I just try to be there for her. That's all I know. That's all I know how to do.
I know you don't want me to be your dad anymore, but I'm always here to give you a ride
to your
dad. Best dad.
But I'll always be here to try to be the best dad I can. I may not be good at reading drum music.
I know your new dad's better than me, but he is my boss.
It's a Scientology. That's a Scientology commercial.
Is it? What do you know about Scientology? Well, you're a
Scientologist. Just what I saw the other day on L. Ron Hubbard, man. That fucking shit. He's a master manipulator, for sure.
That is insane.
He parlayed writing those books into a fucking religion.
Didn't he say... I think maybe you can confirm this since you saw whatever you saw. I thought I heard something at some point where he had told, like, a buddy of his joking around, like, I bet I could start a whole fucking religion about this. And he was like, ha, 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 right. And he's like, he just did it.
I did not see that part. What I saw was he wrote those books. He got drafted into the army. Somehow they made him commander of a small destroyer. He sank. He sank like three friendly vessels, shelled a island that had people on it that, and they like relieved him from duty, right? They kicked him out, and so he hooks up with some guy in Hollywood who has a super hardcore interest in who's the devil worship guy, Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
So he learned all this weird fucking mind control stuff from this. Some guy, actually, the guy who was interested in Aleister Crowley was the guy who started NASA, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, it's totally fucking weird. So he kind of taught him all this weird shit about mind control. So he just, like, goes out and starts his own fucking religion by starting what he called these self-help seminars, where people would come in and they'd pay him, like, $50. And he invented this quote-unquote machine, okay?
Yeah.
Where you, like, hold two metal objects in your hands and a current passes through them, and it's supposed to be going through your brain. And it can tell if your brain is clouded with something because there'll be more resistance in your brain. I mean, it's total bullshit, obviously.
Wow.
But he had these people so convinced that they would come in for these readings, and he would jot down, not him, after a while there was, like, people that worked for him, would jot down everything these people would say in these meetings when they thought they were having these readings. Even so far back, he would be like, no, go back to your past life and all this shit. And he had these people convinced, you know, that they've had like 29 lives and shit.
Jeez.
So then he's like, well, we need to make more money because the IRS is after him. So he invents this, like, system of levels that you can, like, attain inside of the Dianetics or Scientology or whatever it is. And you have to pay like $10,000, you know, and take so many classes to get to this level. And then you got to pay like $50,000. I mean, these people would spend like 20, 30 years of their lives attaining these crazy levels that didn't really mean anything, you know. But he would drive these people to be successful because they wanted to, like, get to these next levels that they would, like, work extra hard and shit. I mean, everybody was really successful. That's what's weird about that church. There's not, like, people that lack. So then he goes off on some boat with these weird people. I mean, it's crazy. So finally they're talking to these people at the end of this thing, and they get to this 20th level, whatever, where they're, like, the chosen people. And they open up this briefcase, right? It's, like, super secret. Written in his own hand is, like... And it turns out that his idea, now that you reach this level, you're allowed in on the secret that we're all damned souls dropped from giant planes from some other Earth on some parallel universe, right? And it's fucking totally insane. It's like half the people are like, what the fuck? I spent 30 of my years of my life, and this is what the end of this is? It's just fucking nonsense.
Oh, my God, I can't imagine.
No, I mean, these people were, like, shattered. Like, shattered fucking people. Like, two of the ladies, now, like, lost their minds.
I'm even surprised that at that point, after spending all that money and that time, that they even had the wherewithal to realize, oh, well, this is all fucking bullshit. You think that they would be like, oh, now I know the secret. Which I guess there's probably a lot of people that are.
No, dude, I'm telling you that the story was so ridiculous, Rufus, that... They were like, wait, no, you know, my whole life can't be based on this, you know?
Oh,
there was supposed to be something so much more. But, I mean, if you ever get a chance to read that clear or to see that Clear Choice documentary, it's pretty interesting.
I
did not
do
it justice.
Now, I made a note from last show that as soon as my data renews, I'm going to stream it. It's on Netflix, right?
I can't remember where. I actually saw it on demand on Comcast, so it probably is on Netflix. It just came out, though. Just came out a couple of weeks ago.
So you have Comcast? What do you think about Comcast? I've never had Comcast, but I always read negative shit about Comcast. Are they a shitty company or are they good?
Well, I mean, they're expensive, obviously, but so is everybody else after a while. You know what I like about Comcast, Rufus?
Huh?
It's what? Not... It's in the ground. It's not a dish service.
Yeah.
You know, a couple years ago, dude, we had really bad storms up here, and every time it'd fucking rain or something, the programming would go out, and I would never know. Maybe there's, you know, it'd be like, there could be a tornado this evening, you know, and then like 2 seconds later, I'm getting the no signal thing on my TV, and I'm like, what the fuck? What if there is a tornado? I'll never fucking know.
Well, not until it's too late.
Right. So
I was like, before it kills you.
Well, and then when it snowed hard, the fucking thing went out. It was all kinds of shit. So, I mean, I like Comcast just because it doesn't, the weather doesn't affect it.
I saw a tornado once. You ever seen a tornado?
I have seen a tornado, yes. I have. Twice.
Twice. I've only seen one once. Did you find it terrifying?
The first time, yes. The second time, I was pretty far away from it, so I really wasn't that freaked out. But and I've seen abundant, numerous funnel clouds too.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I've seen one tornado. It scared the shit out of me. But I've never seen multiple or funnel clouds. What's it like to seeing? It's got to be scary, like looking up and
the
seeing
funnel,
a cloud starting to form a funnel.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? The funnel cloud was scarier than the tornado, because you didn't know when it was going to turn into a tornado. You know what I mean? And it wasn't that
really
far away. It was terrifying. That was way scarier than seeing a tornado down on the ground.
Where was that? Where did you see that?
On a golf course a couple years ago.
I mean,
we were
like,
just sitting out there.
What,
it's so crazy, dude. You know, we knew this storm was coming, and we're golfing in a golf outing. So, you know, everybody's drinking beer and smoking weed and having a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows, you know, everybody's got phones or whatever, so you know that the storm's coming. But, you know, it stayed sunny, and it just was sunny and nice and, you know, a little humid, yes. But then all of a sudden, it got, like, pitch black. I mean, within, like, 2 or 3 minutes. And you're like, what the fuck? Then it rained super-duper hard. Then it just stopped on a, you know, just, I mean, it went from, like, total downpour, you're getting soaked to the bone, to, like, stopping and nothing. And then it got super windy, dude, and we looked up, and there's this huge fucking funnel cloud, and it never did form into a complete tornado. But then it started raining super hard. They had to cancel the whole thing. There was a bunch of lightning and shit. And we got back to the clubhouse, and they said, you know, that there easily could have been a tornado right where we were at. It was like, you know, bow echo. That's what they call that. Have you ever heard of a bow echo?
No, never heard of that.
It's what happens when a really strong thunderstorm comes in, and it pushes a bow, like a bow shape, out of the, like, the wind and the storm. Like, the front of it is really, really heavy-duty winds. And then it starts to break apart and cause rotations, like in small pockets. It's fucking insane.
Wow. That's crazy.
I mean, you're talking like 80-mile-an-hour winds just come across, you know, like nothing.
I can't fucking imagine looking up and seeing something like that.
No, I mean, there's already been tornadoes this year on the Plain States, has there not?
I think there was one in Oklahoma, I think last week. We had a big storm that kind of swept over Oklahoma and Arkansas. We're a little nervous. I mean, we see, like, every other house has, like, a storm shelter, either under or above ground. We don't. So we're thinking about, man, maybe we should get one.
What does that entail exactly?
I don't know. There's a place outside of Fort Smith that sells them for, like, $3,000, and they install them, and it's just a small, a little steel box that they put under the ground. You know, I guess they bring a backhoe out and bury it for you. But it's, you know, temporary. You're not going to, like, live in it. You're just going to go and wait out a 20-minute storm.
Can you find a used one?
Yeah, if you're willing to clean out the skeletons.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Maybe you'll find some old food, some rations.
Hey, I had a question for you about golf, actually. It's odd you mentioned that. Right before the show, I was watching a commercial about Dick's Sporting Goods, and they were bragging about how they're the biggest seller of golf stuff. And I realized that, like, you play golf and your buddies play golf, but you're, like, cool, you know, beer-drinking, relaxed, hanging out golf guys. But all of the golf marketing commercials are market to, like, dudes in their 60s with pleated front khakis and, you know, polo shirts and braided belts. Like, why are the golf commercials that cater to, like, guys like you and me who just also like golf? You know, like,
you know,
the
it's
same
funny
guys who, like, tailgate party and stuff.
I don't get – it's kind of a misnomer that that's your average golfer, because I see a lot more guys out there my age or younger that are golfing.
What?
I mean, maybe the older guys are the guys that spend all the money. But I would definitely say that it's more people like me who are out there drinking beer and smoking weed and just kind of taking it easy than it is like a bunch of super serious hardcore golfers. And the hardcore golfer guys in the world. So I don't ever want to be associated with them.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. But my brother's the same way. He's a golfer, but he's a golfer like you. It's like, let's go out and drink some fucking beers and have a good time. It's not like, I'm wearing penny loafers and I'm going to then go to the horse race and watch my thoroughbred, you know,
right,
pay $20 million.
The problem is that those are the only guys that still think that that kind of attitude should be still alive. And they're obviously a dying breed.
Yes, that's true.
You know, but if you ever watch like a golf event on TV, all the commercials were for like Viagra, Wells Fargo, shit like
exactly
that.
Exactly right. Yeah, and they should be for Bud Light and for Bud Buddy.
Yes, they should be for Bud Buddy. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you. Got the tins today. Tins are in.
Really?
Tins are in, yes.
Tell me about the tins. What's the scoop
on
tins?
We're going to go to the VIP, and I'm gonna hit the man's room real quick. So I'm going to play Beer is Food to get us into the VIP. What do you think? You down?
Just do it.
All right, check you in 3 1/4.
Your fingers itching, open them all to murk. Spend all day sleeping sandies at the local sub shop. You're the only thing that gets me through it. A whole bunch of good men high. whiskey bar to get the show back on the road. Those cops, they don't understand how to have a good time. Just because I'm seeing double, they make me go on tonight. I tell them every time, yeah, beer is good, that's what it's for. Yeah, beer is good, and I want more. It's my grandma wine, it's my girlfriend looks fine. Yeah, beer is good, I get all the
VIP part of the show. If you just were listening, that was us, Hyper Sloth, Power Duo, Zigzag, and Rufus playing our hit, Beer is Food. I just want to say that you need to download that from your favorite downloadable places because the Blog Talk Radio does not do it justice. Agreed, Ruf?
Totally agree. The streaming sucks. Get it from iTunes, Amazon Play, or Amazon MP3, and Google Play. For 99 cents, and that's a fucking deal. I mean, come on.
That is a deal.
It changed your fucking life.
It's not. Yeah, it's not a fucking song. It's a way of life.
It is a way of life. It's an instruction manual for how to be a better person.
You know what's crazy is that eating beer for food for me right now would be an improvement with the kind of crap I've been eating lately.
But bread is bread. Beer is like bread. It's wheat and hops and water. It's like a, you know, the food of man.
Well, you know, and really we were kind of weaned on beer because for a long time, water was not safe to drink.
That's true.
You think we were put here by aliens and they left us weed and beer?
I think so. I think they just wanted to see if we could help them grow better weed and brew better beer. And I think we've succeeded, and that's why they've been coming back so often.
Right. Yeah. It turns out they're a bunch of alcoholic weed heads that are aliens.
And that's why their ships keep crashing every 40 years.
I hope
drunk.
What if aliens, like, what if our blood is, like, cracked to aliens, and they just come here and decimate us just so they can all get really fucking high for, like, a couple weeks?
Well, that would totally suck. I would run away. Good thing I live
in a
small town. I don't know. I would just run away in the opposite direction of the blood-sucking aliens.
Well, what if they're 9 feet tall like those guys that those Russian people saw?
Well, that's even better because it takes a lot more effort to reach down and grab somebody like me. So that's
now,
a benefit.
I don't know if I watched the wrong interview, but was that an American interview with subtitles in Russian?
Yeah, I think it was.
But the people were it Russians, right? I'm confused.
Well,
I was confused how that went.
I don't know. I remember I've watched so much over the past few weeks. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably did. Tell us what was the most intriguing to you on UFOMG.com?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of that stuff I'm skeptical about. Like I said, I'm a healthy skeptic. I'm smart. I'm not stupid. I'm not one of the guys who just buys into, like, every fucking thing that somebody says or posts. And that's one reason why I started this, is because, like, every UFO website is, well, first of all, it looks like it was made in 1994.
Right.
Pictures of, like, Gaia or, like, animated flying saucers and shit. And I'm like, you know, let's look at it for real and be willing to say, yes, a lot of it's a fucking fraud and bullshit and hoaxes. But there's this whole segment that, you know, you have legitimate, credentialed fucking experts with their own stories who've been in NASA and been astronauts and are pilots who are like, look, I fucking saw this.
Now, what about that guy? I can't remember if this was on your site or something that I saw on another site after looking at the UFOMG site. Was a guy who said this was on the site. A guy who said he was an astronaut and saw a 9-foot alien in outer space, right? But there was no ever proof that he actually was ever an astronaut.
Exactly. And that's true. And I don't know what to think about that. I mean, this guy claims that he was an engineer for NASA and that he was monitoring the astronauts who were up there. He wasn't an astronaut, and he saw a 9-foot alien. And I personally don't buy the story, but I was hungry for content to get the site going. There's no information on the web regarding him about him being in NASA. You can't look at it. It's not on Wikipedia. It's not on NASA's website. You can't verify it at all. So that's a big red flag, obviously. I think the guy's full of shit, but there's going to be some people who say, well, and maybe rightly so. I mean, how powerful is the conspiracy? They could easily say, well, look, you're not playing the fucking game. We're going to obliterate your fucking history with us. And not only that, we're going to help contribute to all the people that want to, you know, say you're a fucking idiot. So
here's my idea about that is he probably is a liar because he's still alive. I think the conspiracy is big enough that if you break the conspiracy and they think you're going to break it open, you're pretty much a fucking goner.
Well, I think I've read about that. Like, I've wondered that. Like, okay, if it's that fucking big, then why are these people allowed to say anything? And the reasons that I've read about it, and it kind of makes sense, is like there's so many people saying shit now that if they were all just to suddenly start turning up dead one after the other, that would be much more of a red flag than anything else. So it's really like NASA or whoever, you know, is quote-unquote the big conspiracy guys. They can't just kill these people off because then that points the finger at them more than anything. They just have to put disinformation out there that makes them look stupid and crazy. But, I mean, you can't prove that stuff. You know, I'm really not interested in that kind of stuff. I'm more interested in things that are like, you know, the 1% that can't be fucking identified. And even the experts are like, well, that's definitely something.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck it is.
I think the legitimacy really comes from the group sightings of the UFOs. Like people that aren't in a group together, but, you know, they've seen stuff, you know, maybe over the Mexico City, I think a lot of shit happens. I mean, what's weird is it seems like this stuff happens in a lot of the same places, you know, the kind of phenomena that UFOs provided. It seems like it's always kind of Mexico City, somewhere in Russia. I mean,
yeah, that's true. And I mean, maybe there's some geographic reason for that. But I think also a lot of it is the U.S. They just take it more seriously over there. It's really like a part of their government. They have wings of their government dedicated to taking seriously looking at it. And over here, we don't. So, like, when it happens over there, they take it seriously. They don't say, oh, yeah, it's aliens, but they report on it. And they say, this guy saw something. Here's the footage. And here, we just kind of automatically kind of snicker and shrug our shoulders. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, Central America and Russia, they take it seriously. They're like, look, there's shit up there while we're trying to fly around passenger airliners and shit, we got to figure out what it is because it's a safety issue.
Some of the most interesting stories I've read about UFOs definitely come from pilots of airplanes who have seen the shit. You know what I mean? And if you look, there's plenty of those stories out there. We're traveling to other worlds. Who's to say that someone couldn't easily travel to our own world?
Right. And I just wrote a review of a book today on that website, and I read the book like last year. And so it's not much of a review, just kind of a summary, called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. And it was written by this woman named Leslie Keene, who's a distinguished fucking, she's a reporter, but investigative reporter.
Right.
And the foreword to the book was written by John Podesta, who was Obama's counselor on foreign relations or something. I mean, he just left to work on the Clinton campaign. And he said when he left, this was just a few weeks ago, the Obama administration, he said, my biggest regret, he counted down his top 10 regrets. And his number one regret was that he didn't get the government to come out with full disclosure about what they know about UFOs.
Right.
So he wrote the foreword to this book, and this whole book is not—it's not like theories or you know, weird fucking stories. It's literally like each chapter is an introduction by the author, and then a letter written to the author by the person she's interviewing. And these are NASA astronauts, Israeli pilots, commercial pilots, telling what they saw, and it's all, you know, recorded on radar. Multiple fucking witnesses, whether passengers or pilots. And so it's a very reportive book. It's not getting into the weird esoteric fucking bullshit. It's like
what
fucking facts. Right. And, you know, there's something there, whether it's it's very persistent. And this is why I like the book, about calling it UFOs. It doesn't say they're fucking aliens, but they're like, there's something fucking there that a plane could crash into or that could fuck something up.
Yeah, it's
so
an unidentified flying object.
Right. So why don't we take it seriously instead of like scoffing at it? Let's figure out what the fuck it is.
Well, I mean, obviously the American government's take on that is, well, don't worry about it. We don't want you to know about it because your fucking pea brains can't really handle it. So I'd liken it to like a DMT trip where you just, after finding out or seeing the stuff you see on a DMT trip, after you find out there's aliens and then we have hardcore evidence of it, I think your whole fucking life is almost askew for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's fucked up, is if it's real, and if it has been covered up since the 40s, then the government's never going to come out and say, like, oh, by the way, yeah, we've been covering this shit up, because I think the problem won't be people freaking out because, oh, holy shit, there's aliens out there. People will freak out and be like, you fucking lied to us and manipulated us.
That, you know what? You're right about that.
Right. I mean, what else have you fucking lied to us about? What else have you
really
fucking fabricated?
Clean now. See, and that's funny you say that, because that's how those people felt when that L. Ron Hubbard, you know, when they got that briefcase with the secret they've been working their whole lives to figure out was that fucking stupid ass shit. They're like, I wasted my whole life. This man's a crackpot, and I followed him, you know, to the depths of hell and back because I thought he was onto something. Turns out he's just fucking full of shit.
Exactly. And, I mean, the government is right. I mean, well, the government's a shyster anyway. We know that. You shouldn't trust the government at all.
Protecting us from ourselves is the government's job.
Yeah, and protecting them from us is also the government's job.
Who that?
So I think that their biggest fear isn't the claim that, oh, my God, if the public finds out there's alien beings, it's going to be chaos, it'll destroy religion and all that stuff, and people just go insane. I think their problem is they won't trust us, and we can't control them. They'll understand that this whole construct that we've made is fucking meaningless because we've, you know, lied about the biggest fucking news story of the century, or the millennia.
The next thing we'll be wanting to know what they did with Jimmy Hoffa.
Right, exactly.
And you know what's weird? Yeah. Is that you got to figure, if you're in the Army, you got a pretty good job security, because there's no way the government would ever get rid of the Army in case the people all fucking woke up one day and said, you know what, this shit ain't right. We need to fucking do something. In a second, our government would do just like any other government or like bullshit government in the world and like declare war on its own people.
I totally agree. And I'm not one of the conspiracy guys who thinks that the government's planning that, like they're going to take over and just put us all in FEMA camps. But I do think that in a heartbeat, if the people did revolt, they'd just fucking wipe us all out and wouldn't give a shit, you know?
They wouldn't. They'd round us up and put us in fucking camps. I could just see it. Honestly, if you were going to try to take the 1% out of control, I mean, they can talk to you about voting and shit. Your vote means absolutely fucking nothing. Otherwise, marijuana would be legal in the United States because 57% of the people want it. You know, it's the people in power that don't want it, so it's not going to happen. It's going to be hard coming.
Yeah, the lobbies and money. I mean, that's...
Right. And, you know, it's hard to get a foothold when, you know, this is the deal. The government says that marijuana has no therapeutic benefits, but if a big fucking corporation cooks it down into a pill and calls it Marinol, then it has benefits?
Right. Exactly.
You know,
and
they can market up
to the as high as they can fucking market up and, you know, funnel some money into a congressman's pocket.
So dirty. Like, after watching that thing, the Men That Made America, did you ever get a chance to watch that?
I didn't. I'm going to make a note of that again.
Dude, it gives you such an insight into what bullshit. The whole fucking country is founded on bullshit.
But what's depressing, though, is that it's only a few people who even watch the documentaries like that or even think about the government that way. I mean, it's you and me and 20 other people in a 150-mile radius. Most people are just like, yep, got to go to work so I can pay my taxes. And
Go to the bar.
And I'm all about that, too, but at least when you're drunk.
Well, you know what? I've spent my time
in bars.
I'm done with bars now. You know what I mean? A bar is not a good place when you have a family.
No, it's not. And I can't tell you the last time I was in a bar. That's a problem
with
coming from Austin is there's clubs. You don't go to a bar. You go to a club where it's a bunch of skanks and, you know,
near do-gooders.
So, right. There's not a bar where you just go sit down and drink yourself happy.
See, that's the problem. That's the kind of bar I went to. But then if you go to these bars now where it's like the same people have been going there 25 fucking years, dude, and to them, not one thing has changed. They're still drinking their same brand of beer, sitting on the same stool that they were 20 years ago. You know what I mean? It's like the day hasn't even changed. They haven't grown up at all. And it's a weird thing to watch because I've got two really close friends who go, they're married, and they're not married. They got, like, drinking buddies. They just go to the bar every night together.
But everybody knows their name.
And they fight constantly. It's like a joke.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're a bar couple?
Yes, that's exactly what they are. And they got three bars that they go to because they, like, will wear out a bar after a week or so. You know what I mean? Then they got to go to, like, another bar for every night of the week for a week. You know, then by the time they get back to the first bar, they forgot why they thought they were assholes in the first place. You know.
When I was in New York last October for a conference I had to go to. And I was alone. And I went there by myself. The wife and the kids stayed home. They were just in Nicaragua. And I didn't even have a business guy with me from the same company. So just me. I was there for like 5 days. And one night I did. Of course, I got blasted every night in my hotel room. But one night I was like, I'm going to go out to a bar. And so I turned the corner around the Hotel Pennsylvania, by the way, very nice place. And I found a bar. And it looked like a real bar. I was like, cool, it's a real fucking bar. It's not like a club. And I walked in there, and it was dark and dank, and there were people just hunched over fucking drinks and kind of looking at me out of the corner of their eye, you know, sucking on cigarettes until they were...
I thought you were there to serve them some papers.
I mean, there was maybe four people in there total, but it looked like they'd been there since the place opened in 1912. And I sat down at the bar next to some smelly people that were complaining about something. And I just got so fucking depressed. I was like, oh, God. This isn't what I think of when I think of a bar.
I think they gave you a drinking problem. I think you caught a drinking problem from one of the glasses.
I think they wanted me to. Give me a mug of beer and I drink half of it. And
give me a mug and a shot of depression.
That's right. Shot of depression.
You know, bars like that can be so depressing. A lot of times you like go to a bar like that and you think, I'll come out of there feeling pretty good. You know, I'm on top of my game. These people have already given up, but somehow they can just bring you down to their level.
Yeah, it was the whole vibe, especially if you're, you know, 3,000 miles away from anybody you know and you're all alone in fucking New York City in a dank, dirty, dark fucking bar full of losers.
There's like a 20% chance you might not come back.
Yeah, that's true. But all these people looked too tired and drunk to even attack me. They were just like, they'd given up.
Oh, no, I meant you would just fall into their, like, their rhythm. Be like, oh, okay, you know what? Whiskey or beer's not strong enough. Give me some vodka.
That's right.
Then before you know it, you're hooked. You don't drink vodka, do you?
No, I don't. I've got two bottles behind me that we bought a year ago.
What brand?
Hang on, let me see. Looks like there's two different kinds. Nope, they're the same kind.
Me and, you know, there's like so many ridiculously flavored vodkas now. Are your vodkas
this
flavored?
Blueberry.
Blueberry?
Yep, flavored blueberry.
I was at my cousin's liquor store yesterday, and I was talking to one of the booze sales guys, right? Randy, he's the funniest shit guy. And we were talking about all the flavors of vodka, and, you know, somehow watermelon came up, and we were talking about something, and we both looked at each other just after saying watermelon vodka, and both said, when will they come out with fried chicken-flavored vodka?
Oh, my God. You guys are
How
such
awful
racist.
Of a joke is that? But we're both so funny that we thought of it at immediately the same time.
You guys should start a club. You can wear, like, white pointed hats.
You know what? Maybe that's a good idea. We both golf. We golf together, so maybe there's something to that.
You know, it's... God damn. Again, we're on the same wavelength. I actually told my wife a racist joke on the way back from lunch today. We went out to lunch. And,
just to see her reaction, though, right?
Yeah, I'm not racist. Of course not. I just wanted
right.
to
I mean, I know you're not racist. And I'm not racist either. We hate everybody equally. But I like to tell my wife a racist joke, and then when she laughs, go, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That's good. Like it was a test, a personality
exactly.
test.
Exactly. I'm like, how do you think you'll ever get a job with your racist attitude?
It is funny. I do make fun of my wife for being racist a lot because she was when we first met. She's not anymore.
You broke her of her racism, did you?
I did. But here's the joke that I told her on the way back from lunch today. I said, how does a black woman know she's pregnant?
I'm waiting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, how?
How?
When she pulls out her tampon and the cotton's been picked.
Oh, my. Where do you even hear such a sick joke, you sick fucker?
I read it on Reddit. Somebody asked a question on Reddit. What's the most racist joke you know?
That's pretty racist, but I like it. I like the spirit of the joke. Not the racist spirit, but the funny part of the joke. You get it.
It's racist
right?
and kind of sexist.
I guess it is sexist. I guess it is. Well, everybody knows that a male embryo would be too lazy to pick the cotton. So I guess you just have to think that she's pregnant with a female.
Yeah. Who's the female who's picking the cotton for her man.
You know what? The funny thing is, it's not funny. It's disgusting. I go to my cousin's liquor store, and this is not a stereotype. This is a real deal. I hang out 10 times a day. there will be like some super hot young white chick driving around some black guy and coming in and buying his booze for him.
What?
With mommy and daddy's cash or whatever. It's fucking disgusting.
That's weird.
Because you know what I never have seen? A black chick driving a white guy around and coming in and paying for his booze.
So, and let me guess. Of course, the black dudes, God, that's a terrible way to start off the sentence, but you'll get my point. They don't look like upstanding black guys who are, like, going to college or, like, working a steady job. They probably look like thugs, right?
Yes. Yes, they do. And this isn't anything against black people. This is more like, you know, these young white chicks are getting with these guys that obviously don't have any futures and getting knocked up and shit, and it's a travesty.
That, yeah, that's what I mean. It's more about the lifestyle than, because you could easily go find, like, you know, some black dude who's, like, in college or has a great job or is just a good guy. So, you know, these chicks aren't attracted to the race. They're attracted to that just thug lifestyle.
It's like they're attracted to pissing off their parents or something, I think.
Yeah, probably.
You're lucky. You're lucky you've got a son, dude. I'm thinking about making a ton of money just so I can build a moat around my house or move to an island somewhere. I already want to protect my daughter from everything as it is.
Dude, I don't envy you. I'll be honest. I mean, when my wife is pregnant, I was hoping to God we didn't have a daughter. Just for those same reasons, man. Because I know that dudes are idiots. A lot of dudes are fucking morons.
I'm like hoping she's a lesbian. I've got my fingers crossed. I've got her in a lot of sports like baseball and basketball. I'm just going to try to mold her. I'm going to try to mold her into being a lesbian.
Do you only buy her flannel shirts?
Yeah, and then I can be like my wife, be like, you handle this. You've got to handle this. This is woman stuff. This is not a man thing.
Mm-hmm.
When she's getting beat up by her dykey girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
You don't think that happens, Rufus?
Probably more often than the government will tell us.
You know what's ridiculous? Why would a woman want to be with a super butch other woman? Why not just be with a dude?
It's the attachments, man. I mean, like the gear downstairs. They're like, if those chicks could get it like a dude with not a penis but a vagina, then they'd probably do it. I think it's more about the interface.
I think it's just to piss off the parents that don't want them to be lesbian. See, my daughter will never be able to piss me off because I want her to be a lesbian.
So she came out of the closet, you'd be like, thank God, I've been waiting to hear that for years.
Exactly. I'd be like, oh, honey, you've made me so happy. What kind of car would you like?
She'd want a pickup truck.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Nice step side. She can get a nice white step side.
A dually? She get a dually?
Yeah, fuck yeah, a dually with a cap. A four-door dually with a cap.
Oh, my God. What about toe hitch and a spotlight?
Dude, we're talking the tow package. She's going to have a Hemi under there with four two gearing, all kinds of crazy shit.
That's a great vehicle for a lesbian.
Yeah,
she
can go around.
Market it that way.
She can go around pulling out stumps with this fucking dually, any shit she wants.
That's the 2015 Ram, specially made for lesbians.
The lesbian, the LGT, or what would you call? What do they call those?
What is it? LGBT?
I don't
lesbian
know. I really
gay.
Have no idea. That would
no
be
idea.
Hilarious. They come out with a special one called the LGBT.
The truck's so badass, you don't even need a penis to drive it.
The truck's so badass, right? That even transsexuals can work this stick.
Jesus Christ.
So that is a fucking, that's a Saturday Night Live skit. Well, it's better than Saturday Night Live skit, but it needs to be made.
That's right. Dodge Ram commercial for the LGBT community.
Complete with, it's got the rainbow interior package.
The headlights only show rainbows.
Is it the mirror turns into a disco ball, has a disco ball effect. Oh my God, you are sick. has a special dildo closet.
Oh my God, that's the toolbox in the back.
Literally the toolbox.
We call it a toolbox for a reason.
Because you can get an important tool for satisfying your other half. But wait, watching two chicks makes out that are good-looking chicks is a turn-on, I must admit.
This is true. I won't argue with that.
Have you ever seen that in real life?
Real life? No. Have you?
I have, but it wasn't like they wanted to get me involved. So
that's cool. I mean, I'm cool with that.
It was kind of frustrating. That's actually frustrating.
Okay, yeah, that is kind of frustrating. Were they rude about it? Were they like that? No.
But you're just like, hey, there's two hot chicks making out, and they don't want my dick, and that sucks.
Wow. Yeah, that does suck. Or it doesn't.
No, it doesn't, exactly. That's what she said. Hey, next time we have the show, I want to make I have a prank phone call I want to make to the sub shop.
Okay.
Remind me to do that. Remind me to do that.
I'm going to make a note right now. I'm making a note.
Because we're an hour 40 into this bitch.
Yeah, I got to jump out, man.
You fucker. We were going for a record.
We're one step closer. We'll take another step next week.
All right, Roof. Have a happy Easter, my friend. I will call you from the office and show you some stuff about the Bud Buddy now that I got the tin and whatnot.
Yes, do. Can't wait.
All right, I will be in touch.
Right on.
Adios, people. Thanks for listening to Hyper Sloth Happy Hour, Zigzag and Rufus. We're going to play the show ender, so we will catch you next Tuesday, 8 Central, 7... Wait, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. That's it.
That's Check correct.
Ya. Adios, bitches.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus.